The following Wheat Among the Tares program has been pre-recorded. Well, good morning, everyone. I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina, ministry of Gethsemane Baptist Church. Thank you so much for joining us today for our broadcast. And I want to welcome Pastor Stephen Williamson back to the studio again. Welcome, brother.
Good morning to you and those of you that are listening today. Thank you for being on the program.
Amen. It is a blessing to have everybody aboard this morning. I need to slow down just a little bit. We have got an interesting guest with us, Pastor, this morning. He is a veteran missionary, has been on the field for a while, and it's, you know, Pastor, anytime we have missionaries, and particularly those in the foreign field.
Sure.
We've talked to domestic folks as well, and but my particular, I'll use the word, my heart goes out to those, brother, that are on the field and are serving the Lord, and they've left behind the comforts here in America. And I often think about just, you know, how and what they are going through every day. And that's one of the purposes of Wheat Among the Tares, is to let people know about what things are going on. And so with that in mind and kind of that vein of thought, I want to introduce our guest this morning. And he is Brother John. He is a missionary to the nation of India. And just due to the fact of the current situation politically, the climate there in India, we are going by sort of an incognito name, for the lack of another term. So, Brother John, missionary to the nation of India, I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor and privilege to talk with you this morning.
Brother, the whole nation of India, and we will talk about that a little bit later on in the broadcast, but first of all, I wanted to ask, and Pastor, this is something really that to me, and I think we have maybe broached this subject before, but when a man says, I'm not only called, you know, into the ministry, but also to a foreign field, that's a big step.
Certainly.
When you talk to men, and I know that we've had men, but we've got a man right now out of our church in the nation of Ghana in Africa, and he came to you. Again, rehash, if you would, kind of what you look for the leading of God's Spirit as far as in his life in making such a big step, and then Brother John's going to kind of give us some information about how God dealt with him.
Sure. Well, you know, first a man needs to know that he's called. And, you know, we need to follow a calling, not a burden. And that's what I try to look for, because we can be burdened about so many things, but is God calling us to that? I'm burdened about every mission field I ever go to. Every mission trip I'm on, I'm burdened.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
But a burden is not a call. And you want to be sure that somebody's just not following a burden that they feel, and it's not necessarily what God's calling them to. Because we can be burdened about places and support it with money, support it with prayer, you know, support a missionary that's there, make a mission trip there. But we need to be sure. So, you know, I try to make sure that our missionaries, that God is literally calling them to that.
Yes.
And because they need to know that they're called, and God is calling them there, because things are going to get tough. And, you know, when you go to the mission field, maybe other people are this way, but I learned early in my ministry, before I became the pastor here, I went to the mission field as a missionary as well.
You did, yes.
And 4.5 years, that, you know, you go because you love the Lord. If it's just for the love of the people, that's liable to change. And because they're going to treat you ways a certain time, things going to happen that if it's just because you love the people and that love for them waxes, begins to wane, then you're liable to leave the field. So you need to go like the Lord called Isaiah, who will go for us. And Isaiah didn't necessarily ask who the people were or what's going to happen, how long it is. He knew the Lord needed somebody and he surrendered.
Yes.
So my main thrust as a pastor, when people are burdened about something, I want to make sure that God is calling them to that.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, you've heard pastors, you know, his take on this. Tell us about how God dealt with you particularly, and specifically with this foreign mission field.
Absolutely, and I agree 100% with Pastor. You know, God called us a few years ago. I grew up, just a little bit about myself and how I came to know the Lord. I grew up in a Christian home. At the age of 8 years old, I heard the gospel and realized my need for salvation, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and I grew up. But we didn't grow up in a church at the time that was took time to disciple us or anything like that. So I really dealt with a lot of things in my early adulthood, and as I went into college, I had a dream and a desire to want to be in the medical field. I was in college and preparing for that career. And, you know, it's funny how the Lord works. You know, I was doing exactly what I said I'd always wanted to do. And I thought that if I was going to be able to accomplish this dream of mine, that it would lead to just a great life of great satisfaction, great peace, and great stability in many different areas, financially and at home and all these different things. But you know, I found myself doing exactly what I always wanted to do, but I was completely miserable. And so I just began to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, I'm doing what I've always wanted to do, but, you know, I never come to the place and say, God, is this really what you want me to do? And, you know, the Lord really began to work in my heart and life, and he brought some men of God into my life that began to teach me and disciple me and encourage me. And, you know, through that, as I began to study more of God's word, God began to do a work in my heart. It was just a few years ago, as I was going into my last year of college, that God called me to preach. God had put that desire in my heart, and I believe that God was calling me to preach. But then just a few months after that, I was getting ready to go into my last semester of college, a few months away from that finish line of getting that piece of paper, and God began to work in my heart in the area of missions. Like I said, the church I grew up in was a great church. They loved the Lord, but we never had any missionaries come through. You know, when I was 20 years old, I met a missionary for the very first time. I had really never heard of missionary stories or really didn't know anyone that had gone to the mission field. I'd, you know, known some people that had taken some trips and had gone over, and they'd done some humanitarian work, but as far as anyone going to take the gospel to a foreign land and living there among the people, working there, I really didn't know much about it. And so it was during a Bible study, somebody brought up the story of Jim Elliot. And I had never heard that story before in my entire life. I was completely blown away at how a man would give up his life in the U.S. and go over and try to learn a language and a culture to reach people with the gospel. It just completely blew my mind. I never heard anything like that before of someone going over and doing that. And I just began to read more of these stories. And I knew at that time that God was working in my heart. He was leading me in this direction, more towards foreign missions. And it was in January of 2023 that I surrendered to the call of God upon my life to serve him on the foreign mission field. Now, the call to India came a little bit later than that, but that's how God led us. You know, he put the desire in our heart, and I believe, just like Pastor, you know, a burden can change, a burden can come and go.
That's right.
But we believe that God really has called us to this. As we, you know, back then, all these stories and things like that, you know, sometimes we can talk about the mission field in a little bit of a romance type of way.
Exactly,
we can look
yes.
at it through rose-colored lenses.
Sure.
And you know, it all seems great. It seems so exciting, but there are difficult days, and it's during those difficult days that we have to really cling to that call of God upon our life and really believe that this is where God's called us.
You know, I couldn't have put it better, Brother John, when it came to the romanticized aspect of it. And that's what really, honestly, you have to guard against when it comes to that. Because again, many people, pastors, you aptly describe, can be caught up, you know, in something like that. And, but when the hard, you know, face-to-face realities come in, oh my goodness, that is really where your faith is going to be tried. And so Brother John, I'm very blessed to hear that aspect of things that God began to work in your heart. And it wasn't just an overnight thing. Obviously, this was something that carried on for some months and time, and God settled that in your heart and mind. I want to shift the focus now. This foreign field, the mission field of India, that's such a large and diverse country, first of all. And Brother John, they worship a lot, many gods of the Hindu religion there in their culture. First of all, tell us what you have seen personally there.
Absolutely. You know, India is an absolutely beautiful country. You know, it's you go over there and it's very different. As you can imagine, it, really any country that you go to is, it's been said that India is kind of an assault on the senses when it comes to sight and sounds and smells and touch and all these different things that you see. Amy Carmichael, who was a famous single missionary there to India, she once said, if you're going to come to India, bring a strong sense of humor and no sense of smell. And I believe that probably plays a good part in as we adjust and all these different things. But India is an absolutely beautiful place, beautiful people, beautiful culture, beautiful languages, just all across the entire region. But as you mentioned, it is a place that is filled with religion, filled with all of these different things, but without a knowledge of God. I went over for my very first trip. It's been 10 years ago this year, and I went over and I took a trip there and saw it for the very first time. I had been praying about India. I did not know at that point that God was going to be calling me to India, but went and was praying about many different places. But as we went there, we went to the city of Varanasi, India, which is right on the Ganges River. And Varanasi is considered to be the Mecca for Hinduism. People make pilgrimages from all over. And there on the Ganges River, the Varanasi is believed to be the oldest in continually inhabited city in the world. And so just lots of history, lots of architecture, all these different things. But it is a place where many come, believing that there's power and energy and sin-forgiving power in this body of water. So they come to cleanse themselves. They come to worship this river. And we went there and got to see it. And the Lord really brought this verse in Psalms chapter number 115 as we saw the different temples. We saw all these things. But it says there in verses 3 through 8, it says, "But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. And they that make them are like unto them, so is everyone that trusteth in them." You know, as I was sitting there on a boat on the Ganges River, looking out at this large group of people that had come down to do their nighttime worship of the river, I thought about this. You know, what if the Lord came back right now? You know, who right here of all these thousands of people, who would know it? And as I got to looking around, and I realized that the guy that was rowing the boat that we were in, he would have probably been the only one to realize that the Lord had come back, because in the rapture, knowing that there was a boat full of people before, and the next second they would all be gone. And I realized that there were many people there thousands, millions of people in the subcontinent of Asia without the knowledge of God, without the truth of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Brother, that speaks reams right there as far as how God could touch your heart about those people. And but for the grace of God, even here in America, we know that there are many people here in America now, especially over the last number of years, that our schools, our colleges have totally pushed away the scriptures. And there are people here, even in America, and you wouldn't think about it like that, Brother John, but there are people right here who, if the Lord came today, they would never know. And but Brother, what to me that would have been a settling thing in my heart that, yes, there are people here that definitely need to know that. What are some of the obstacles? For instance, a language barrier. Have you faced anything with regard to that type of obstacle?
Sure. You know, India is a place of many different languages, many different cultures, many different religions. And so when it comes to language, if you travel around to different parts of India, you're going to face different languages. Where we are, kind of in the northern part of the country, we all kind of that area speaks the same language. And so we got there, we began to learn the language. We begin to grow in our understanding of the language, begin to teach and to preach and to witness and to disciple people in the language. And so definitely at the beginning, there were lots of obstacles. A little story, we walked up to a guy that in our neighborhood that we were living in, he sells milk. And so I went up to him one day and I asked him his name. And I heard his name, and so I went and told my friend that was helping me in the language, and he would be correcting me and things like that. I went up to him and I said, I just met somebody, and his name is Sathais. And he just looked at me real funny, and he said, I don't think that that's the name. And I said, no, I know it's his name. He just told me that. And so he said, oh, I don't think that that's a name. That's not anyone's name. And so I went back a few days later, and I saw him again. And so I said, hello, Sathais. And he kind of looked at me strange, and he said, hello, how are you? And I said, I'm doing well. And so I went back to my friend. I said, yes, that's definitely his name. He said hello to me again. Well, come to find out, my friend was right. That wasn't a name. And I had been calling the milkman that sells milk there in our neighborhood. Instead of calling him by his real name, I was calling him 27. And so I'd walk up and I'd say, hello, 27, how are you doing today? And so there are definitely many more stories that we have, but there's definitely, as it comes to language, definitely a language barrier. But by the grace of God, the Lord has helped us and blessed us in a way to be able to communicate in the language. And almost our entire ministry is done in the language. We do some ministry in English just because of the diversity of India.
Sure.
We have people coming from different areas from around the country. They may not have the same heart language, even though they're from the same country. And so the official languages of the country are Hindi and English. And so primarily our ministry is done in those languages.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Brother John, who is a missionary to the nation of India. And he has just finished describing to us a little bit about the obstacles of the language barrier there. Brother John, what about other obstacles that you face there? Just the transition from living here in America to that country and just getting used to the locale and how dealing with people there. In the marketplace, that type of thing. To me, that would be a great challenge.
In the beginning, we went over very young, my wife and I at the time, we didn't have any children. And so, you know, early on, it seemed, you know, everything was like a big adventure for us. Everything was a new experience. It was all, you know, the beginning, it was all exciting. It was all new. But it was very different. I grew up in a very, very, very small town. in the South. And so going over to a big city like that, a city of over 25 million people, when there's probably, I don't even know that if I looked out the front yard of the house I grew up in, if I would even be able to see 25 people, much less 25 million people. So it was definitely different. But as we get over, you know, Paul writes, he says that he began to do things like, and I might become weak so that I might win the weak. He did these things and began to do things the way that they did so that he could win them for the cause of Christ. And, you know, the Lord helped us in that. There were many things that we had to learn to get accustomed to as we went over. You know, many times in India now we eat with our hands. Eat the entire meal with our hands, no silverware, anything like that. So in the beginning, it was a little bit, took a little bit to get used to. How do you scoop up rice and put that in your hand, and how do you put it in your mouth without making a mess? Those are little things that we had to learn to do. But as we moved around, God brought people in our life. You know, before we left, we prayed for this, that God would bless us with, that he would give us some people that we could love and that would love us like family. And he answered that prayer far above what we could ask. He brought people into our life to help us get adjusted, to help us get settled in, to help us to be able to adapt and to learn the culture and to do things the way that they do. And that's been such a huge blessing to us and a help. And I think probably a huge part of what's allowed us to be able to stay there as long as we have.
Pastor, I know Amen. That when you went to the field, there were some folks that kind of adopted you guys sure. down there yeah. and helped. And to me, that would be a great encouragement along the way.
I think our brother here would say the same thing. You know, we got to the field. The first 6 months for us was just learning to live. I mean, day-to-day live. I mean, you know, we're getting our water out of a cistern. You know, you're cutting grass by hand. I mean, everything changed, the way you eat, the way you bathe. You know, we bathed out of a 5-gallon bucket with a cup.
Yeah.
You know, you hold water in a bucket to flush the toilet with. You know, mosquitoes and hot and no AC. You know, just fans and sweating at night when you're sleeping. But, you know, people, I remember when they would come visit, they'd always be like, I can't believe all that you're suffering, you know, and leave it. What happens is a transition happened with us where this is just life.
Yes.
I'm not thinking about what I'm suffering. I'm not thinking about how bad we have. And I'm not thinking about all the comforts we've left in America. That becomes life and the way you live. It becomes right. the norm, you know. And I think that's just a grace that God gives missionaries.
That's right.
If they're going to be sustained and all, they become the people. They live like the people. That becomes their people. That becomes their land. That becomes the calling. You know, God transitions you into that, and that just becomes your life.
And Brother John, sounded like to me you obtained a family there that obviously helped assimilate you into the culture there. And I'm very, 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 very thankful for that. Numbers, and I'm not talking about the book of Numbers. I'm talking about Brother John, as being a on the field and the different things that are expected of missionaries, you know, to report back and that type of thing. And I read a lot of missionary biographies, and one of the things that has been sort of the thing that is done is they send letters back, they send reports back, you know, that this is the number of people that have heard, this type of thing. That's often associated with success. The larger the numbers, the bigger success type of thing. Pastor, I know that you have been inundated with that particular question yeah, before. Sure. Brother John, let me ask you, with regard, how do you personally view this specific aspect of the ministry as far as I know you like to keep people apprised and everything, but is the numbers thing sometime a driving force in the back of your mind, or is it what it is? I don't know how else to say it.
Sure. You know, that's, you know, we, like you said, we get asked the question about, you know, different things. And, you know, the Bible says to compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. You know, we had, when we first got started there, you know, it's easy to look around and, you know, I think that, that God puts that, you know, when you feel God, when you know that God's called you to a place, he's called you somewhere, you know, you want to see a work done. You want to see people saved. You want to see churches started. You want to see people sent out to start more churches. And that's a desire that God puts in our heart. And if we're not careful, definitely very early on, we struggled with that some of feeling that we had to produce numbers. But this is what God's been helping me with. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, it says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I think that's the work that we're called to do. And, you know, it's not my ministry. They're not my people. They're not my numbers. They're not my churches. At the end of the day, it's all God's.
Amen.
We're just simply ministers. We're simply stewards. We're simply servants. And the servant is nothing. The minister's nothing. It's all a work of God. And so there's been seasons in ministry where, you know, we've done planting, where we've done, we feel like we've been doing more planting. There's been times of ministry, definitely over the past couple of years, where as we dealt with kind of the after effects from COVID, where we did a lot of watering. And there's times where we see lots of fruit, and there may be times where we don't see as much. But it's, regardless of what season we're in, whether we're planting, whether we're watering, whether we're sowing, whether we're reaping, in all of it, it's God's ministry, and it's the one, he's the one that is giving the increase. And so we try not to, to get caught up in numbers and different things, but just try to be faithful to what God has given us to do there in India.
Well put.
Amen.
Well put indeed. Thank you, brother, for sharing that particular aspect things, because we know that often that is a temptation, and I'll use that word. To report things, and I'm very, very thankful to hear that. As we come to the close of our program, we, as our custom is here on Wheat Among the Tares, we always have a moment in time of prayer with those that we interview, and I certainly don't want to miss that opportunity here this morning, and I want our listeners to understand that this is the purpose of Wheat Among the Tares, is to let you know how to better pray for those that are on the field and are daily involved with the work of the ministry. And we're certainly, Brother John, we are very, very thankful for you, your wife, and your children, and the sacrifice that you have made. And our prayer is that the Lord would strengthen you much. Pastor Williamson, if you would, let's pray for this ministry. And that the Lord would use it.
Yes, Father, we pray for the country of India. Lord, for those that are laboring in the country. Lord, for a great work to be done there. We know all the idols and, Lord, all the gods and the religions and paganism that is consumed in that country. And for our dear brother who has been laboring there and preparing to go back in June with his family, God, that you prepare the way for them. Bless the ministry there. Bless the work. Give them souls, Lord, for their labor. May there be more churches started in the future. And Lord, for the saints that are there, that are living under the oppression of the government, Lord, trying to hinder the work of the gospel, trying to hinder the work of the word of God being preached. I pray that you'd help them to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Help them, Lord, in their witnessing, and I pray that, Lord, that you'll help them to have a great effect, Lord, as they lead people to Christ and as they teach them the Word of God, to see churches planted there in India. And we thank you for it. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother John, missionary to the nation of India. Brother, I want to thank you for joining us here this morning on Wheat Among the Tares. It's been a blessing to have you, and we will certainly continue to pray for you and your family.
Well, thank you so much for having me on today.
The Lord bless you, my brother.
Yes, sir. You too.
Bye-bye. Pastor, what a ministry. India is such a huge nation.
It is.
When he said 25 so million huge, people, yes. You know, to, I mean, you and I just kind of looked at each other and said, wow, you know, and, but, you know, that one work and you win one at a time, and that can have a great effect. Pray for Brother John and the missionary and his missionary family there in India. And I want to thank you for joining us here for Wheat Among the Tares. I trust that these programs are a blessing and a help to you, and trust that you will pray for us here. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and again, pray for us.